Hello.
Hi.
Hello, listeners. Hello. Of the Cryptid Queens podcast.
I feel like it's been a long time.
It has. We took a break last week. Thank you for everyone for granting us space and grace. Alex was traveling home to see her family in California, and I was doing wook shit with my friend.
Sounds like a good time. I was too, and it was great.
You are so incredibly powerful to go from the airport to a Disco Biscuits concert.
Yeah.
Your best friend could never. My best friend can.
Every time I tell someone, they're like, what the fuck? Like, how did you survive? Everyone's face is just like, ugh, Jesus Christ. But it was we actually ended up having a lot of fun. It was great.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, because Evan and I really aren't that big of Disco Biscuits fans. But I don't know, man. When you get the right amount of... What's the word that I'm looking for?
Drugs.
I was going to be a little more subtle than that. All of our friends from Boulder were there, and
yay.
Evan was just going with them, and then they ended up having a party bus, too, so I was like, I kind of have to go to this. I'm still recovering.
I really do feel like in these beginning to open up times that we're in, where we're kind of out of the pandemic, but it's still all very fresh, it's taking me, like, twice as long to recover from events as it normally does. Oh, my God.
I know.
And I don't know if that'll ever change.
I'm no, kind of worried. I think it's also just because I'm older than I was a year and a half ago, and I feel like it's just like getting worse and worse.
I feel seen.
Just at me next time, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, thank you for tuning in to Cryptid Queens. We are a podcast that talks about all things cryptid, ghosts, aliens, local legends, and how it relates to different cultures around the whole world. And today we're going to be talking about Alex and my home state of California, which both of us were born and raised in, and neither of us no longer live in.
Yes. So, yeah, California is a state in the western United States. It's bordered by Nevada, Oregon, and Mexico. Is it also bordered by Arizona?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe you have to drive through Nevada to get to Arizona first.
Jesus, I have no idea.
I should know my own fucking home state. California is so big that you don't even know where it borders.
It's massive, dude. And it has 39.5 million residents.
Dang.
Yeah, it's crazy. Across a total area of approximately 163,000-ish square miles.
Nice.
So it's a big boy. It's the most populous and third largest U.S. state by area and has the world's sixth biggest economy, which is fucking crazy.
The world's?
Yeah, the world's biggest economy. Sixth biggest economy, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, because we do so much like energy stuff and we grow pretty much half the nation's food. So, let's see. I really don't think I need to do much background on what this state is, like, especially what the culture is like, just because, you know, I feel like we both lived there our whole lives up until recently, and it's definitely everything that, like, everyone thinks it is. It's beautiful, it's vain as fuck, it's wealthy, it's always on fire, it's super crowded, there's so much traffic, and there's also a constant impending doom of the next massive earthquake. But hey, did I mention that it's beautiful? Like, really, really pretty.
Like, so pretty.
Like, so pretty.
Like, have you heard of Yosemite?
Have you heard of Joshua Tree?
Have you heard of Big Sur? I love that you said that at the same time.
Have you seen those big-ass trees? Because I have.
Park those big-ass trees right in my little garage. Oh.
Most of California's mythology comes from the first peoples of California, such as the Miwoks, which is like kind of where I grew up, like near San Francisco and the Sierra and stuff. And then there's the Pomo, who were on the northern coast, like Humboldt area. And then you had the Maidu in the Central Valley, and then the Chumash in the South, where Caelid's from.
Yeah.
And that's just to name a few, because there's a shit ton more.
Yes.
And there's also some influences from Europeans who came and settled here, gold rush prospectors, Hollywood movie stars and moguls, and more to add to the legends of California. So it's all kind of, you know, everything that you know about California, just kind of into one little mess of incredible folklore and mythology.
Yes.
So.
Do you miss California?
Yes, I do. I miss the weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest thing, honestly, because it was fucking 98 degrees yesterday here.
Oof.
Dude.
Big oof.
Yeah. And it was raining. I'm pretty sure that Colorado got, like, more rain last month than Portland or Seattle.
That's crazy.
Fucking insane.
Climate change is doing some fucked up shit, man.
Yeah, and now it's like 98 degrees, and I don't know what to do with myself and my sweat.
Yeah, I really miss California. I feel like there's like a homesickness for it that will never fully go away.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I feel like it's such an impossible place to survive. As, mm-hmm. like, young people trying to make their way in the world and trying to start putting roots somewhere, it's just so inaccessible, even if you are, like, a third or fourth or fifth generation Californian, like, it's getting more and more impossible to start a life there of your own,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have, like, a huge fucking...
Trust funds.
Yeah, it's insane. And like, we both come from families that are doing relatively well, and it was pretty impossible to start a life there even still. So
yeah,
I feel like the days of like moving west to seek your adventure are becoming less and less accessible.
Right.
And I have a lot of sadness about it.
Oh, dude, I'm jaded as fuck about it, because I watched San Francisco change over the course of my life. It's really upsetting, because it turned from, like, you know, the idea that people have of San Francisco just really doesn't exist anymore. Not to be super morbid about it, but it's kind of true. There's not a lot. There's definitely still some culture there, but it's definitely not as much as when I was a kid. And it's like five times as expensive.
Yeah.
And I literally can't afford to live in my hometown.
I can't even afford the parking tickets in that fucking town.
Dude, I can't afford the fucking bridge crossing toll.
The meter maids are out to fucking get you.
Yeah, and it sucks, because I'm like, you're just doing your job, but come on.
Yes, and God, what a beautiful place. Like, I just want to go to Ocean Beach every day. And it used to be a reality for us, and it's hard to know that it probably won't be ever again.
I think California has been the victim of a lot of loving to death, which is really unfortunate, because God damn it, I'm just getting into my jaded ass fucking thoughts on everything, but it's because the outdoors are fucking trendy now, and no one gives a fuck about actually taking care of the environment. They just want to get a fucking photo for Instagram. And I am getting too heated about this.
I totally understand. I totally understand. My favorite beach from childhood, it's the same thing. It's like, there's no seashells because everyone picks them up and takes them home. It just bums me out. It bums me out that people
really
come to California and then just aren't stewards of the space.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, anyways.
And it's so hard to enforce, too, because there's just so many fucking people.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But anyway.
Be a good human and don't honk in traffic. Fuck. California traffic is one thing I do not miss.
I'm trying to figure out who went first last time. I think you did. Right?
I think I did. I think that sounds right.
Okay.
Yep. Oh my gosh, I cannot contain myself. I saw that video that you sent me.
Holy shit.
Oh my God. That is the most unsettling video I've ever seen in my whole life.
And I sent it to you with like no subject, no text. It was just like, boom, video link. I'm sure you were like, what is this? Okay. For California, I'm doing the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so I got most of my information from cryptids.fandom.com, monster.fandom.com, two of my favorite sites for this podcast. And then an article from the Fresno Bee by Carmen George, a blog post by Paul Wagner, an article on medium.com by Kaylin Tankowski in the article on Ranker by Laura Allen.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Thank you, everyone. So the Fresno Nightcrawler, also known as the Fresno Alien, is a new cryptid, and it's around 4 to 5 feet tall, extremely thin, white in color, and has super long legs, but no or very unnoticeable arms. And it also appears to be wearing a gown or a cloak of some sort, or like really loose fitting
skin
types of like pants. I don't really know.
It's a hard one to describe because it looks like almost a ghost. Yeah. If it had like a curve upward between the legs.
Right.
That's higher than like a regular person's legs.
It literally just looks like a walking pair of white pants.
It's so weird.
It's really weird. So it's been sighted mostly in Fresno, but it's also been sighted in Yosemite.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, Alex, that's so weird.
And then also in Indiana and in Ohio. They also said Poland, but I looked at the video. Yeah, super random. I looked at the video that was the photo evidence or the video evidence for the Nightcrawler, and I was like, that is the most fake thing I've ever fucking seen in my whole life. So I don't think it was a real sighting. But all of the ones that are considered pretty genuine, all of them seem to be extremely similar as far as like physical characteristics. So I'll go into some sightings here. The witnesses of the Ohio sighting were, or one of the Ohio sightings was a older couple driving near this town called Carmel on December 12th, 2014. They came up over a hill and saw a 7-foot-tall, slender gray creature that is now dubbed the Carmel area creature. So the older man witness, who I couldn't find a name for, said the following. He said, "We recently bought a place in the Fort Hill area. We first noticed after about 30 days of living here that we suddenly had a perfect circle that stays fresh green no matter what weather in our front yard." Your face.
That's chilling.
Yeah,
to weird. Me. That's like fairy realm shit. Like, yes. Don't stand in the middle of that circle.
Right.
And definitely don't chant something three times.
Right. So on Friday night, the 12th, we were driving home after turning on Carmel Road, which leads to our road. We ran around the curve by the Carmel Church and then up a small incline, and approximately 10 feet over the incline and in front of our truck, the quote alien ran across the road and into the woods. So there have been many possible sightings of the Nightcrawler in the Carmel area, but there have only been two that were well documented and that people actually took seriously and like the news reported on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the other encounter, this is honestly pretty silly and funny. This is like one of the first stories that I'm covering that's actually pretty lighthearted, mm-hmm. which is nice.
That is nice.
Yeah. So
what a change from your MO.
I know. I just like to keep it interesting, you know. This man called Ron Bakla, who was a resident of Youngstown, Ohio, which is kind of also in the same area, I think. He had a lot of strange happenings on his property for several days before the actual encounter. And according to his submitted case report with the National Cryptid Society, reports of strange clicking noises. Another fucking story of strange clicking noises.
Yep.
Trash cans knocked over, strange droppings in the yard, and the dog consistently alerting around midnight that something was around the house.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, on August 27th, 2017, the dog went crazy as usual around that midnight time, barking in the direction of his back deck. So, this time when Ron looked out of the windows, he saw two eyes looking at him briefly from the backyard, and then the figure took off running down his driveway, and he said that the figure ran 15 feet in 2 seconds.
Ooh.
Yeah. What's crazy is that he has home security footage of everything.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's why I think it was taken seriously, because there's actually, like, footage of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the home security footage captured the moment showing a bird-like figure, not particularly tall, with long legs and feet that pointed outward as if it was standing still. Though the witness at first stated the creature had dark feathers and a snout, he also said it didn't appear to have arms or wings. It simply appeared to be legs, a torso, and a head.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's what people thought this particular sighting could have been. The National Cryptid Society reports when reviewing the video, it appeared to be the back half of a dog or child, but the footage clearly shows a figure standing upright on two legs, and no child could move as quickly as that. In watching the entire clip, this figure does move incredibly fast. So there's also a theory that this was an emu.
What?
So bear with me, because according to Mr. Bakla, there are emu farms in the area. So it could just be the case of an escaped rogue emu, but like...
An emu got tangled in a sheet and
something
came and fucked up your shit.
Maybe he went through another backyard and like ran through a sheet that was drying on a clothesline and then...
Oh my gosh.
So
that would be a really cute little animated short.
It would be really cute. But emus... they do emit sound that is capable of being heard a mile and a half away, and that might have been what the clicking sounds were.
Huh.
And maybe they just had, like, enough residents to be heard through the walls of the home and insulated windows. In another sighting, this one's in Indiana. I'll get to California, I promise. In 2004, a 17-year-old motorist allegedly saw a strange thing on the side of the road when she was driving at night. So it was just thin with long legs. It moved oddly as if disjointed and it had like backwards knee joints and was described as being over 6 feet tall. So a second car passed the figure containing two elderly passengers who also saw the being. They conferred with the other motorists and all three agree that what they had seen was not human. Okay, now we're on to Fresno sightings. So in 2007, at around the same time at midnight, that which has been consistent, footage was taken by a security video of a white figure with two long legs walking through a resident's yard. In the video, this figure almost looks like it's wearing a sheet or pants, as you can see the bottom of the alleged pant legs like billowing out, kind of like flowing in the wind. And theories have emerged that contend the figure is nothing more than a puppet on a string wearing pants and that it could be a copycat of the Youngstown Nightcrawler. But it's been spotted in a bunch of different places, and I'll kind of get into why some people do think that this is genuinely a creature. It's also been spotted in Yosemite. In March of 2011, it was reported that caretakers at Yosemite National Park had mounted CCTV cameras to record possible vandals, because I think they were just destroying some property. Which, who fucking does that in Yosemite National Park?
Yeah.
Anyway, they saw two bipedal humanoid creatures appear from the brush, and they meandered through the trees past the security camera. This time, there were two creatures, one being very small, like less than 2 feet tall. And the feet of the creatures can be clearly seen, as well as what appears to be some sort of webbing connecting the knees to the upper body.
Ooh.
So maybe this one was just like a little baby and like a mom or something.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. It's a really eerie video. I think that's the one that I sent you.
Yes, it did look like there was a bigger one and a smaller one. So that could be.
And it was like, it kind of turned around and was like waiting for the baby one.
It's cute. It's weird. It's super weird. It's so unsettling.
So there's a lot of very similar sightings of very similar creatures in very different parts of the country. But we have the internet, and this is considered a new cryptid, so it's hard not to think that at least a couple of the sightings just like kind of fed off of each other. That's what the internet does. But paranormal investigator Victor Camacho analyzed the original surveillance footage shortly after it was captured in 2007. So it was the first one that was captured in Fresno. Camacho said that he was contacted after the man brought the footage to a television network, basically looking for answers. So the video became better known in 2010 after television show Fact or Faked Paranormal Files included it on one of their episodes, which I don't think I've ever even heard of that show.
I've never heard of that.
No. And the group determined the footage to be unexplainable after trying to recreate it with puppets and a child dressed in a white sheet. I read really contradicting things in like different articles this article, it said that they considered it unexplainable, but then another article said that it only took them a couple times to make it look pretty much exactly like the video. So, but in another sighting in Fresno in 2010, a man named Jose allegedly recorded a pair of short, armless, two-legged creatures walking through his backyard. They moved slowly and methodically, appearing to be very quiet. So with this one, several paranormal investigators, scientists, and experts have reviewed the footage, noting that it would be difficult to replicate. So that said, video analyst and debunker Phil Poling, known through his channel on YouTube, Para Breakdown, which sounds fucking sweet, they said that he appears to have cracked the code. Phil and his team were able to create a video with characters appearing to be very similar to Jose's aliens or nightcrawlers. Mm. The myth has still continued on for some reason. The thing with Jose's video was that it was super poor quality because the footage was recorded using an old security camera and it looked like it was a video of the video recording on his phone. I know.
Give them the original video.
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
Not only was the footage poorly compressed, pixelated, and covered with visual noise, it turns out it was a recording from a television. Yeah. So this is the only version of the video to be popularized by the media. So that's like pretty much the only version that anyone has ever seen except for Jose. Another really weird thing is that there are sculptures.
Sculptures?
Yeah, so there's this DMV in California. I couldn't find what DMV it was, unfortunately, but I'm guessing it's in the Fresno area. There's this DMV that has sculptures outside of their office of what appears to be the Fresno Nightcrawler's creature.
What? That's so cool. What a random place to have a sculpture.
So these tall wooden depictions were made of tree trunks, and then they appeared to be armless and headless. So, and the challenge here is that there is no proven connection between the artwork and any myth or reported sighting. But, like, why, though? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Who just thinks of that without being influenced by at least the idea of what people were talking about with the nightcrawlers and stuff? So to end it, there's some really cute art that people have created for these nightcrawlers.
Yes!
Yeah. And, like, I've seen stickers, pins, like, pillows, puppets, dolls. It's everything. It's super cute. Including my favorite that I found, who we follow on Instagram, and they're called Cryptid Comforts.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Yeah,
and they also have a sleep meditation podcast about cryptids.
I did not know. Yeah. I need that in my life.
Yeah, you should check it out, because I know that you said that you had insomnia, so.
I do. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. The Nightcrawler, the Fresno Nightcrawler, has honestly become more of, like, a mascot of the cryptid fandom, because they're just really cute and weird, and they've never actually been seen, like, doing anything menacing or scary or have ever been aggressive, so they just kind of chill and walk around, and people like the idea of them, so.
So they've never hurt anybody? They've never, like, attacked anybody? Nope. Or eaten their dog or any of that?
Nope. Not at all.
That's so great.
They're just, like, they just get caught on video cameras, just kind of walking by, and that's about it.
That's the kind of, I think that's the cryptid I would most like to meet.
Yeah, you know?
One that doesn't attack anyone. I wonder if they'd like the Grateful Dead. I feel like they would.
They already have the fucking hippie pants.
Yeah, they totally do. Just tie-dye them. Yeah. That's all you need to do.
But yeah, that's the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
They sound like they would be like Studio Ghibli characters.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I can totally see,
like,
that.
Very similar to, like, the tree spirits. The forest, little, yes, little forest spirits guys
in Mononoke.
Yeah, but, like,
yes,
tall with no eyes.
I love
and no
it.
Arms
and no arms. I don't know why that's the sound in my head for them, but it's like a little. It's freaking bats.
It's freaking bats.
I love Halloween. So I'm gonna talk about a haunted theater that is incredibly local to my hometown. And maybe nobody else in the world cares about it, but this place was one of the places that solidified my belief in the paranormal. And I'm really excited to share it with y'all. It is a haunted theater in Fullerton, California, where I grew up. And it is formerly known as the Lewis E. Plummer Auditorium. They have recently taken that name away because it became more and more apparent that good old Louis E. Plummer was a KKK member.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, during all of the protests last summer, the school decided that it was time to change the
name.
So they haven't yet... Yeah, they have. I don't think that they've debuted a new name for it yet. I think they're trying to decide what they're going to name it. But yeah, so I'm going to call it FKA the Plummer Auditorium. And the theater itself lives on Fullerton Union High School's campus. And that was the school I went to. And it also is one of the oldest schools in Orange County. It was built in like the 1800s and like real old school. The auditorium is a huge old theater with beautiful and historic decor, and it's also one of Southern California's most famous destinations for paranormal researchers who have carried out numerous investigations in the building throughout the years.
Wow.
Yes. In fact, there are three conclusions shared by almost all the investigative groups that have visited. One, the auditorium is definitely haunted. Two, it's a very active location with documented evidence in the form of equipment readings, EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, and unusual photographs. And three, the spirit of Louis E. Plummer, the former superintendent of Fullerton High School and the Fullerton Junior College, which is right next door that I also went to. So he was the superintendent there from 1919 to 1941 and was historically tied to the Ku Klux Klan. But they're pretty sure that his spirit inhabits the building. So the building itself was designed by architect Carlton M. Winslow and constructed for $295,000 in 1930, which is crazy to think you can build an ornate theater in 1930 for that amount of money, but...
Yeah, that's like, that won't even buy you a one-room house.
No.
Nowadays.
No, it would not. And the Plummer Auditorium is an outstanding example of Spanish colonial revival architecture with Italian Renaissance design elements. Mm. The ceiling has exposed beams that are painted in, like, almost Swiss Alpine style with colorful flowers in the woodwork.
Like, Midsummer?
Yeah, kind of like that. Wow. And then there's several like wrought iron chandeliers that hang from the ceiling above. And the stage area is super large and very tall, as are the wings. It's like a professional size theater. And backstage, actors can take stairs down from the wings into multiple green rooms below that are lined with mirrors and bright bulbs. And I spent so much of my time there growing up because it was like the place that you would perform for all the high school plays, a lot of the college plays, and even elementary school. We would have like our talent show, the yearly talent show, to be there. So I got to know the theater very, very well, performed in it like honestly hundreds of times, which is so weird to think about as someone that hasn't been on a stage probably since 2013. Anyways. And then, oh, also the building has one of the country's last Wurlitzer organs built into the theater.
Cool.
So they'll do this thing that I used to love going to in Halloween time where they'll play like old horror movies and then the organ will do the organ stuff for all the silent movies. So, like, the old Nosferatu soundtrack, they'll play on this huge organ where the pipes are going up into the building. It's the coolest thing.
That's super cool.
Yes. Very fan of the opera. Yeah. I dig it a lot. And then this is so cool. I got a bunch of sources that, like, talk about people I know, which is so weird. So there's a source called A History of Hauntings at the Old FUHS Auditorium by Emerson Little. And that article was written on October 13th, 2020. So it's very recent. And I don't know who Emerson Little is, but they talk about a ton of people that I knew or know in their article and did a great job writing it. So props to Emerson Little. And then I also found a article in a series called Ghosts of Orange County, and it was the number 4 slot, and it was called Plummer Auditorium and the Tunnel Ghosts by Don Juan Ortega, and that was from October 26, 2012. According to a 2002 booklet handed out during the Fullerton Museum's haunted walking tours, which are a thing in my hometown, and I love it, then auditorium manager Evan Shirk, who, like, I knew his whole family, said that numerous strange events and one apparition have taken place in the classic California Mediterranean building.
Yeah.
Theater staff and volunteers have reported many encounters over the year with a spirit they call Louie. And Evan Shirk's story goes that in December 1999, as staff was setting up for a high school dance performance, a large mirrored disco ball began spinning on its own. This in itself wasn't that exciting, but as the ball's orbit grew wider and wider, it became faster and faster and started to spin wildly out of control.
Oh my God.
The staff backed away in fear and began calling, "Okay, Louie, you can cut it out now. We're getting a little freaked out." And the ball stopped and then started spinning again in the opposite direction.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, this place is fucking haunted, dude. And longtime auditorium manager Tony Gonzalez, he is a really awesome dude. He was like the guy who taught tech theater for our theater, what is it called? It was kind of like a magnet school for the theater arts. And so a lot of tech kids would go into the Plummer Auditorium and learn how to like do rigging and lights and sound and all that stuff. And Tony Gonzalez was the guy that like did all of that. And like,
that's cool.
Yeah. And he's also, I think, yeah, the manager of the auditorium. Really awesome theater tech dude. Taught me all about the importance of how to wrap a mic cable correctly.
It's very important.
It is. It is. And also how gaff tape can fix pretty much anything in the world.
Mm.
And so Tony has described many unexplained events to a woman named Amy Owl, a former ghost guide for the Fullerton Museum's haunted walking tours, which is dream job. And he has reported seeing an apparition in areas from ground floor east portal to the balcony landing. He has personally experienced disembodied voices, unexplained swinging chandeliers, and a constant sense of being followed around by a small child.
Ooh.
That likes to grab his pant leg. Ooh. And tug on it.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yes. However, the chandeliers in the auditorium can't actually swing because they're bolted to the ceiling.
Hmm.
So, physically impossible, unexplainable, swinging chandeliers.
Maybe it's terrifying. Like a residual thing when the chandeliers used to not be bolted or something.
Yeah, maybe it's something like that. So, the landing on the west balcony staircase of the theater, which is also a makeout spot that kids used to go to. Me during tech week has been considered the most haunted spot in the building. There was a common ritual that a lot of newly hired auditorium employees went through that involved being sent up to the balcony after closing to look for some forgotten flashlight or program. They would like send the new kid up to freak him out, and almost always the new staff would come running back down the stairs, panicked at the sensation of an eerie presence on that area, that landing area, God. When you first get up to the balcony. And then back in 2001, psychic researchers caught some fascinating anomalies on film as they took photographs of the west stairway into the balcony landing. And the pictures revealed a faint, blurry outline of a gowned woman moving up the stairs.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I'd love to see that.
Yes. It's creepy. The figure bears noteworthy resemblance to a figure depicted in the historical mural, Pastoral California, on the auditorium's exterior west wall. So there's this huge mural painted by Charles Kassler in 1934 that depicts scenes from California's Mission and Rancho days, including a depiction of Pio Pico and family seated in front of Mission San Juan Capistrano and being entertained by an elegantly attired Mexican dancer.
Wow.
It's a really beautiful, huge, huge painting. But they're saying that the figure from the ghosty images looks like one of the figures in this mural.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then, according to an old Fullerton Museum Center pamphlet, oral history has it that the dancer in the painting is Laura Moya, a famous singer of the 19th century, and that the haunting beauty of the painting and the stories of the spirit on the balcony landing have led some to believe that the two are somehow connected. A different group of psychic researchers who conducted an investigation of the auditorium in 2003 claimed to feel the presence of an angry woman at the spot of the landing where the picture was taken. Could it be the spirit of Laura Moya or Luisa Espinel? Or perhaps it's the spirit of a departed theater goer in an elegant dress enjoying an evening of music as she did in life. And Amy Owl, who has done a lot of research into the local paranormal stuff because she kind of runs the Fullerton Museum's haunted walking tours, wrote via email, back in 2006, a group of paranormal researchers were in the balcony of the auditorium where two members of the group became aware of a scratching sound. They both looked toward the stage where the sound was coming from and saw a disembodied arm come reaching over the balcony railing. And they both screamed, and the investigation was promptly ended, and everyone went home because they were too scared to keep going.
Fucking me if I was a ghost hunter. Yeah. Like, straight up.
Yeah, I like to think that I would be a good ghost hunter, but
me too.
My propensity to nope out of shit is too hard.
Because the reason why I'd want to do it is because I'd be like, I want to know. I want to know that these things fucking exist. And then the minute I'd see one, I'd be like, I'm fucking out.
Out. I'm goodbye. Fucking out. Yeah.
I'm proving it for myself, not for anyone else.
Yes. So Ms. Owl recalls ghostly encounters reported by other employees of FUHS Auditorium as well. I'm not sure what year it was, but a lighting crew member was adjusting lights in the catwalk when he felt someone enter his personal bubble and walk past him. And this staff member had been a loud paranormal skeptic and couldn't explain what he had experienced as anything other than a ghost, she wrote via email. And one time during an evening performance, one of the ushers reported a burning smell coming from the balcony. The light fixtures original to the building were melting for no reason. Tony quickly turned off the power to that area and the melting stopped, but there was no way that that small amount of heat generated by the lighting fixture could have damaged the fixtures so severely. There was no problems with the wiring when examined, and staff even tried to replicate the event with blowtorches to see if they could get the things to melt with no luck.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Totally. And this incident is especially interesting because Tony has been told that he's followed around the building by a spirit known as the electrician and also the electrician's daughter. And the lore about that, at least the oral lore that we were all told, is that there was an electrician that worked at the theater who had his daughter there as he was like finishing up work, and then as they were driving home from his job, he got in a car crash right in front of the building.
Oh, wow.
And they both were killed. And so they think that the spirits...
They went there.
Haunt the theater. Yeah.
Huh.
Yep. And then there's been other incidents with footsteps in the balcony area. According to an interview with Tony Gonzalez from the 2006 book Fullerton Ghosts, History and Hauntings in Orange County, California... He says, in the southwest hallway leading from the main foyer to the foyer in the balcony, people have heard the sounds of footsteps walking along the hallway and up the stairs. Part of the area is stone and part is carpeted, which muffles people's footsteps, so it's strange that they would hear continued footsteps even over carpeted areas.
Right.
Right? And Gonzalez went on to explain that one time there was a man cleaning in this area, and including the lighting fixtures in the upstairs foyer, and the worker was wiping down the fixtures when all of a sudden he heard footsteps running up the stairs. He definitely heard footsteps, heavy footsteps, as if someone was running up the stairs and skipping every step.
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Gonzalez said in the book interview, it was a loud thump, then a small step, and a loud thump, and a small step. He thought someone was playing a trick on him, so he put his back up against the wall and listened to try to, like, pop out at whoever was going to come sneak up on him,
right,
and listen to the footsteps coming up the stairs. He listened, and when it got to the top of the stairs, he jumped out and made a scary sound, but nobody was there.
Oh, that just gave me the chills.
So then obviously he freaked out and ran the fuck outside and probably had a cigarette. And Miss Owl doesn't know how far back the first reported hauntings at the auditorium was, but she did mention that back in the 1970s, the high school auditorium had a reputation for being haunted even then. Students and employees would feel creepy sensations on the balcony especially. And the story was that Louis and maybe his wife as well were buried under the lobby, which is not true. They're buried in Loma Vista Cemetery with a lot of other people from that time. One of the scariest encounters to happen at the auditorium actually took place on the ground floor east portal to the balcony staircase. It was there that the assistant house manager at the time looked up after closing night to see the floating head and shoulders of a balding man.
Oh my God.
And the auditorium employee told the Fullerton Museum Center, maybe it's someone else altogether. Maybe his name isn't Louis and he's hanging around until we get it right. And then one last little thing. There's also said that a mysterious network of underground tunnels lie below the entire city of Fullerton.
What?
These tunnels had various access points, including the basement of the Plummer Auditorium. And haunted tunnels, as we have talked about, are a whole ass thing. We have been unable to ascertain the original purposes of these tunnels, but they have served various purposes, both official and illicit, over decades. It's rumored that criminals hid in the tunnels, bootleggers used them to escape the law, and Fullerton had a speakeasy that was like a big deal that would brew beer down there, I guess.
Wow.
It's also thought that a body or two could have been dumped there over time.
It is a dark tunnel.
It is a dark tunnel. I would probably dump a body there if I had to dump a body somewhere.
Right.
And long closed to the public for safety reasons, the tunnels have become a bit of an urban legend in Orange County. Some claim to have snuck into them and even spent nights in the tunnels. And some of them tell of spine-chilling encounters, sinister whispers echoing through the tunnels, otherworldly voices, and lonely apparitions that followed visitors through the tunnels, stopping at the point where the sunlight entered the tunnels. And one ghost that has been encountered on multiple occasions in the tunnels is a man reportedly dressed in World War II-era military uniform who has silently watched tunnel trespassers disappearing into the darkness before they could reach him.
Oh,
yeah. So that is the spooky history of the Plummer Auditorium, formerly known as the Plummer Auditorium. And one last little fun fact that I have to share, because it's such an excellent little local legend detail.
Please.
That I'm just going to tell you. So it's a thing at my high school where the seniors do a prank the night before graduation. So one of the ones that I've seen is like people stepping in paint and leaving red footprints all around. I think my class put a bunch of beach balls in the pool and I forget exactly what, but like whatever prank. This one class in like, I think the 60s decided to take one of the cows from the agriculture program that we have on campus. It's like a farm part of the campus and take one of the cows. And did you know that cows can walk upstairs but not can't down
walk
them
down? Yeah.
So they took the poor cow up the many stairs to the top of the Plummer Auditorium bell tower and left him up at the top of this bell tower, and he couldn't get down, so they had to airlift this cow out of the top of the bell tower. But, I mean, for real, dude, like, in all my years, in so many performances there, people would always say, oh, it's Louis acting up again. Like, light bulbs would flicker sometimes, and you'd be like, oh, there's just Louis. Or, like, you'd hang up your costume, and then the next day, you'd get there, and it would be, like, in a ball, like, randomly in some other area. Wow. Like, just weird shit would happen down there. And
so have you had any personal experiences?
I'm trying to remember, and honestly, high school was so long ago, and because of the trauma, I've blocked most of it out.
I would blame you one bit.
But I definitely remember that, like, there were, like, very common times where, like, you'd walk up the stairs and feel, like, a chill, and, like, be in the balcony and think you heard somebody say something, and then you turn around and nobody's there. Like, that kind of shit happened all the time, and I, you know, remember little bits and pieces of that.
Right.
Especially during like tech week when you'd have to be there till like super late at night getting all the finishing details of a show done. Yeah, haunted shit happens there.
Well, and that's thank you.
My tiny local haunted house.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to it.
That makes me wonder what kind of haunted stuff we have in Boulder.
I'm sure there's something.
Yeah, because I know that like Denver has some pretty haunted places because Ghost Adventures has gone to a couple of locations there.
Yeah, dude.
But I do know that there's a curse on Boulder.
A curse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
There's a curse on Boulder because when the first Europeans came to settle here, the indigenous people were pretty much like, we're putting a curse on this place because they pretty much just got pushed out by the white people. And
damn, I curse them too.
Yeah, me too. So they put a curse on this place and we're basically like, anyone who comes to this place will come back. And that's why Boulder's gotten like so out of hand with like, so the story is that like, that's why Boulder's gotten like so crowded and, you know, everything is just like super expensive and
right.
You know, it's just like a massive little suburban area now because right. of the curse.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of California is the same way because it's like,
yeah,
you keep pushing indigenous people west and west and west, and then you go as far west as you can and hit the ocean, and like,
they have nowhere to go.
Yeah. There's nowhere left. So
yeah,
there's probably some heavy curses over there.
Yeah. And like, I try to, you know, look at it from a different perspective too, with like, you know, I feel like us as, especially as an American society, tend to blame a lot of hauntings on like, quote unquote, Indian burial grounds and sure. like stupid shit like that. And so I try to not just like, you know, scapegoat all of Boulder's problems because it's just not fair. And it's also just like an urban legend.
Right.
You'd think that people would respect all of or any type of sacred burials, but nope.
You sure would think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I mean, it pisses me off when people mess with graves in any sense. Like when people exhume mummies and try to like fucking experiment on them and shit, that pisses me off too. It's like, let the dead be dead. Leave them the fuck alone.
It's really hard because I think it's just like the nature of humans that they want to like know what happened and know what's going on and know why things are the way they are. And then when they find some type of source of the past, they find it, take it, commodify it, consume yeah. it, and do everything that they can. Just because we can doesn't mean we should, you know?
Yeah. And here's a really freeing thought that has helped me a lot lately. You are not obligated to know how everything works. You're allowed to see a mummy and say, I don't understand how this works, and leave it the fuck there and go home. Pour yourself a glass of wine and not fuck with corpses. Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening to Cryptid Queens. This has been our episode on California. We will be coming at you real soon with a mini-sode because there's a lot of many cryptids to talk about and haunted places. I love you, Alex.
I love you too. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Send us an email if you want at cryptidqueenspodcast@gmail.com. And yes. Yeah, if you just have any questions, any recommendations for a location that you want us to cover next, or if you just want to tell us a personal story that you've had with any type of cryptid or ghost or alien, anything like that. If you've been abducted by aliens, I would really love to hear your story.
Yes. And if you've ever seen a ghost, I want to hear that too.
Yeah, honestly, like, those are some of my favorite stories ever, or just people's ghost stories. Almost everyone has one. So yeah, please do that.
We love ya. Thank you for listening.
And I hope you have a spooky week, but not too spooky, just spooky enough.
Keep your eyes peeled, queens. Bye-bye.
Bye.